Genesis 8, verses 21 to 22. Noah offered this sacrifice of burnt offerings. And we read, "The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, and said in his heart, 'Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures, as I have done, as long as the earth endures. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease.'" Genesis 8, 21-22. The Lord said this in his heart, that he would never curse the ground again because of man, never again visit in such a judgment man, even though he is sinful. Every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. Original sin, total depravity, this is it. But never again would there be this tremendous deluge. Of course, there will be the final conflagration at the end of the age. But never again will there be this, as I might put it, premature judgment. Now, though the Lord said this in his heart, he must have revealed it to Noah. And I think it's part and parcel of the covenant that comes in chapter 9, God's covenant with Noah. There's no chapter divisions here. And I think this is part and parcel of it. God must have revealed this glorious promise to Noah. Not only about negatively never destroying all living creatures in that way, but this positive promise, as long as the earth endures. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That's why I've called this little discourse, God and the Promise. It's God here I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about God through his promise, on the basis of his promise. The form and the extent of his promise. Of course, I believe this promise. I have faith. But then I address all atheists listening to me. All unbelievers listening to me, all evolutionists listening to me. You have faith too. In fact, you've got more faith than I've got. Here I see the wonderful account, the basis of what I see in nature all around me. We now know, of course, that the earth is hurtling around the sun at a tremendous rate. And at the same time, it's also revolving on its axis. And again, at the same time, it's also revolving on this tilted axis. We know this now, and we know the sun itself is hurtling through space. We can explain now, in scientific terms, how day and night come, and cold and heat, and so on, summer and winter. But these are the scientific explanations. The reason for it, the cause of it, is the promise of God. Summer and winter, day and night, will never cease as long as the earth endures. And I believe that all this is held in place, and we have these seasons, and we have these days and nights. We have these 24 hours and all the rest of it, and these 365 days and the little bits that we need to make up, to make the complete revolution. I understand myself, I believe, I'm convinced, that it all depends upon this sovereign promise of God. Now, of course, you unbelievers, you atheists, you evolutionists, think it's all luck, chance, fate, coincidence, a fluke. You have amazing faith. You've got more faith than I've got. That all this, that we can be at this exact distance from the sun, a little closer and we should be fried in a second or two. Any much further away and we should be frozen out of existence. And yet it's all luck and chance. You've got more faith than I've got. Now, this promise, moving on, does not mean that in every isolated individual spot there will never be a famine. God used famine to judge Israel, for example. But overall, the earth enduring, the seed time and harvest is going on. The problem with famine in the world, my friend, is not the poverty of the bounty of God in the earth, but the cruelty and wickedness and corruption of man in the distribution of this bounty. God has provided. Man has ruined. But let me come to the positive here. What do I learn about God here? As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. What do I learn of God there? I've learned of his mercy, that never again will he visit in judgment as he did with Noah's flood, although the final day is coming, I repeat. The final day of judgment is coming. Nevertheless, this positive promise, what do I learn of God? I learn the greatness of God. I'm only giving the headings. But the greatness of God, how great he must be. As long as the earth endures, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day and night. What a great God he is, to govern and rule all these providences. What a marvelous God he must be. Let us worship him and praise him. The psalmist does over and over again. In fact, the Bible does throughout. It never seeks to prove the existence of God, but always argues on the basis of the existence of God. The greatness of God. The goodness of God. Oh, think of it. Seed time and harvest. I've been a gardener in my life. The farmers are at it now, sowing their seed, tending the crop, reaping the harvest. Cold and heat, summer and winter. The beauties of the earth, the wonders of creation, the order of it, the marvels of it, the goodness of God in providing food for us. That's what he's doing here. As long as the earth endures, there'll be food provided for mankind. Then think about the promise, the wonder of it, the value of it, the order of it. What do I mean? Well, think about the value of it. Imagine if it was an endless night. Imagine if it was an endless day. Imagine if it was an endless winter. Imagine it would never change from summer. I remember when there was a possibility of moving from the United Kingdom to labor in the States, in California. A man from the Midwest, who was out in California, warned me that it would take some time for me to get used to the fact in California there was virtually no seasons, compared to the United Kingdom, compared to the Midwest. And having been born and brought up in the United Kingdom, the value of the seasons, the wonder of the seasons, the beauty of the fall, the winter, with its cold, yes, but the beauty of the snow, the glories of spring and summer and so on. The wonder of this creation, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter. I've spoken about the mathematics behind the earth hurtling round the sun and the revolutions and all that. Isn't it wonderful? The order of it. I used to live in a seaside place on the east coast of England. And in the local papers, they would publish the tide tables. High tide at 7:54. In fact, they could have said 7:54 in 32 seconds. And I always marveled at the wonder of men being able to predict the tide, high tide, low tide, and so on, to the exact second. But when you think about it, that is wonderful. But isn't it wonderful that God himself has ordained that it should be at high tide at 7:54 in 32 seconds or whatever? The order, the wonder, the value of it day after day, night after night, year after year, century after century. The faithfulness of God. He has promised this. We may depend upon his promise, friends. We can depend upon it. We do depend upon it. We must depend upon it. Even you atheists depend on it. Even you evolutionists who think it's all luck and chance. Even those of you who don't even know this promise is in the Bible. Even those of you who laugh at it and mock at it and scorn it and deride it as myth and fable. Farmers go out in the hope. They reap in expectation and all the rest of it. We sit down to our meals. We breathe the air. We drink the water. Where does it all come from? As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. It comes from this, my friend. There's another lesson here. We must learn that we still have to work. God has given seed time and harvest, but I must sow the seed and I must reap the harvest. There is a day and there is a night. I have to sleep and I have to labor. We still have to work. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. God works, but we have to work out. God works in, but we have to work out. God does his part, but we have to do ours. He gives his promise, but we have our labors. The promises of God do not make an excuse for me not to do my duty. We can learn all God's promises are reliable. This one's reliable. Overall, throughout the earth, as I've said, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night have gone on. They have never ceased. Taken all in all, even allowing for famines, over all the earth, the bounty is rich from God according to his promise. Let's stop all this talk about laws of nature. It's the laws of God. And let us, brothers and sisters, be very careful how we grumble about the weather. Let us catch the spirit of, say, Psalm 147, verses 15 to 18. God sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes, and the waters flow. The psalmist goes on to speak of the revelation of the law to Israel through Moses on Sinai. It isn't just nature. God has spoken in his word. Supremely now, of course, he has spoken to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 1, the first few verses. But even here, it's he sends his snow, he sends his breezes, he melts the ice. Is God doing it? It's not the laws of nature, it's the laws of God. And let us be careful, I say, how we grumble. The greatness of God, the goodness of God, the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, let us learn from all this. And there is one further lesson. The temporary nature of all this. And I warn you, unbeliever, it is temporary. This world will not last forever. You won't last forever on it, but the world itself will not last forever, as long as the earth endures. How long will that be? I don't know. But it has an end, and God appointed the end. He created the earth, he's sustaining the earth, and he will end it. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, for example. I think it's quoting other parts of Scripture. He will fold all this up, like we fold clothes up at the end of the day. As long as the earth endures. And I understand in the Hebrew, the word is days. So teach us to number our days. Unbeliever, will you learn by this? You think this is world is going on forever. You think you're going on forever. You won't. As long as the earth endures. God has promised, and he keeps his word. We may rely upon his word, all his promises. His judgments, too. His warnings. They're all reliable. But there is an end to it all. Be ready. Prepare to meet thy God, said the prophet. As long as the earth endures. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. There's the promise. There is the mercy of God. Never again will I come in such a deluge. And I will provide. But there is an end. May we all learn from this promise, from these promises, may we learn of the God of the promise. And may we more than learn of him, may we submit to him and bow to him. And now in the gospel age, may we come to Christ and acknowledge him to be Lord and Savior and receive him as such for ourselves. Blessed be God for his promise, for his faithfulness. May I learn from his word and submit to him and be thankful.